Blog Talk Radio.
Turn on the light, save the world from darkness, yeah. Turn on the light, won't you please, my friend, yeah.
Welcome to the Turn on the Light broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield. We are assistant pastors of Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Church in Stockbridge, Georgia, with our awesome leaders, Bishop Ruth W. Smith and Pastor Capri Austin. We are so glad that you have tuned in. We are going to show you a God that will bring you out.
So call your neighbors and call your friends. Call Lottie Dottie and everybody. Tell them that the Turn on the Light broadcast is on the air. Tell them to dial 917-388-4161. And while you're getting your neighbors and your friends, here's a song just for you.
Your wife away, oh, she, you mend
watching every light. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, meeting every need. I worship you. I worship you. Oh, de devotion, de amadeke ame.
Amen. Greetings to you. Grace and peace be unto you, my brothers and sisters. We are so glad that you have tuned in tonight. What an awesome day in the Lord. Amen. I want you to know that today is Pastor Ann's birthday. Hallelujah. And we have been celebrating, and we're thanking God for just one more year that he spared her life.
Amen.
Thank God for his mercy and his grace, and we bless the Lord for that today. And we thank God for you, those of you who send birthday wishes, and thank you for everything that you have done for us and to us. And we give God all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, because truly he is worthy to be praised. Amen. We magnify him and we lift his name up. We glorify him and we set him on high where he belongs. And we thank God for us. Amen. He has been a blessing to our lives. And we thank God that, amen, that he is the great Jehovah. He is awesome in all his ways. There is no God like him, nobody like him, nobody like him. Amen. So we are assistant pastors of Light of World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, under the awesome leadership of Archbishop Ruth Smith. We thank God for our lead pastor, Bishop Kevin Jones, and our youth pastor, Pastor Secrete Osler. Thank God for his mercy and grace. Thank God for an awesome leadership meeting we had on today. God is good, and he is showing us some things that we can advance the kingdom of God in the earth, and we can have impact and influence in the earth while we're here. So we give God praise and honor and glory for all that he is doing with us and through us. And we are glorifying him, amen. We thank God. We had a full day today, but we are still excited about what God is going to do, amen, tonight, amen. Because we are blessed, amen, with an awesome man of God, who has the people of God in his heart. And we thank and praise God. We know this year is moving by so quickly. My goodness, we're almost ready for summer. Amen. And I'm telling you, we have some summer days today. But we thank and praise God that we're getting ready also for to get our summer camp together. So those of you who have nieces, nephews, cousins, anybody who's under from 5 to 17, amen, send them our way during the summer so we can have them in our care, and we would guarantee you that they would leave better than when they came. We have a lot of activities ready for them, and we thank and praise God for my wife who is the camp director, amen. And we love God for what he's going to do this summer. We're praising God for everything. Amen, in advance, what he's going to do for us this summer.
Amen.
So I'm going to let the birthday girl say a word or two, and then I will then bring the man of God before you. So without further ado, here's Pastor Ann. Thank God for Pastor Ann.
Praise God, praise God. I thank you, Pastor Butterfield. I thank God for this opportunity to just greet you this evening, and thank you all for tuning in to the Turn on the Light broadcast. Once again, you guys are some faithful, faithful people out there in radio land, so we thank you so much for tuning in. And I want to thank all of you who has wished me a happy birthday. It's been a great day today. I've been celebrating all day, so I just give God glory and give God glory for my husband as well and all of those who have I have touched and you have touched me on today. So I give God glory and praise for that. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now we have this man of God. We're going to press one on his phone so we can bring him live. None other than Minister Randolph Ford. Amen. Who is our speaker every other first Saturday. And I'm telling you, this year is moving by. So this is the first Saturday in May. And so without further ado, the man of God, Minister Ford, you are now live on the air.
Yes, good evening, Pastor Butterfield.
Good evening.
And Yes, and Pastor Ann, good evening to you, and happy birthday to you. It's
Thank
a blessing
you.
to just wish you happy birthday. I hope today has been a blessing for you.
It has. Thank you, and thank you all.
Very good. Very good. And again, as I said last time, I just want to thank both of you for your faithfulness in bringing forth this broadcast, because it has definitely been a blessing to all that come to the light, and even members of other churches who listen to the broadcast. I know that they are really receiving a word from God, and it is a blessing.
Amen.
Amen.
Tonight, I would like to read from the New Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 23. I'll read the whole chapter, which means verses 1 through 6, the 23rd Psalm. It reads as follows. The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for
mm-hmm.
his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Amen.
The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we welcome you and we are open to your presence here tonight. We thank you for this, another opportunity through this broadcast, so that we can give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. We thank you for this ministry to help those who need you to trust you. We pray, Father, that someone somewhere will have their faith strengthened by something they hear tonight. And we pray, Father, that others will rejoice upon receiving a word that they may use to minister to others. We ask, Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit and continue to bless us tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. My text for this evening is simply this. My shepherd is the Lord. I'll repeat that again. My text for tonight is my shepherd is the Lord.
Right.
This title, thank you. This title expresses and emphasizes the sovereign power of who the Lord is to
mm-hmm.
us. In a recent sermon by our very own Bishop Kevin Jones, he said that contextually, scripturally, and doctrinally, from Genesis to Revelation, the Bible is a love story with its own plots and twists and turns. It's a love story between God and man.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how God's desire was for man to be the joy of God's life. But we fell out of that loving relationship with God. So from Genesis to Revelation, God is trying to rescue us and redeem us back into that loving relationship with him. And beloved, the 23rd Psalm does just that. Through David's writing, he uses his words to reestablish, to reinforce, to solidify his obedient surrender of a right relationship with God. Tonight we will learn what it means to have the Lord as our good shepherd. We will also come to an understanding as to why would David choose to write his love of the Lord by writing from the perspective of being a sheep. The 23rd Psalm is one of the best known biblical texts in the Bible. Because of its universal theme of trusting in God so that we can surrender into relationship with Him, this psalm has been read, recited, and sung by Christians and Jews all over the world. David wrote this psalm when he was king. And although David, in his youth, he was a shepherd, he chose to still write this psalm from the perspective of being a sheep who is in the care of a shepherd. When David writes, "The Lord is his shepherd," the question arises, why would David describe the Lord as a shepherd? The answer to this question must be remembered that through the Holy Spirit that was speaking through David, it was for a specific reason. In doing so, the Holy Spirit gave a New Testament answer for his Old Testament writing. And that answer is found in John chapter 10, verse 11, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." It's important to note that God throughout the Bible refers to us as his sheep more than 200 times. If you think about it, we have to understand that we have a few things in common with sheep. First of all, sheep are not very smart animals. They are easily led astray. They tend to wander and get lost, and in the times that they get lost, many times they even starve to death. If you think about our own lives, it would be in our situation that if it were not for God's grace and mercy through his provision for us, where would we be? Second, sheep are not very clean animals. If we think about our own lives, we are not very clean in our sinful thoughts and actions. Again, we are grateful for the promise of God's love and forgiveness when it comes to our uncleanliness. Third, sheep left unto themselves are literally defenseless against predators. If we think about our own lives, we are also defenseless against the dangers of this predatory world. Despite this, God, through his guidance and protection, helps us to get through the pitfalls of this life. Now the question arises, as sheep, how do we know that the Lord is our shepherd? The answer is found in Psalms 100, verse 3. Where God says, "It is he hath made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." Beloved, now that we have come full circle, let us look closely at the relationship between the caretaker, who is God, the shepherd, and the cared for, which is us, the sheep. In the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says in the first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd." I shall not want. You can tell that David understood his relationship to God in a unique way by having been a shepherd once himself. God is like a shepherd to David, and David is like one of his sheep to God. David felt a personal connection with his God, which is why he used the word my in the phrase, my shepherd. In this declaration that the Lord is my shepherd, David is declaring that we belong to the Lord. We get the sense from David's declaration, the Lord is my shepherd, that he has total and unconditional trust in the Lord. This type of trust leads to a total surrender of oneself unto the Lord. It is just like in any serious relationship or marriage. You should not enter into that commitment unless you know for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, that you can trust with all your heart that this person will always do what they say they will do. It is only until you can trust them in all areas of your relationship does the total commitment come through, which is a trusting surrender, that I do not have to worry because this person will always do right by me. This is the type of relationship David was describing, and we should strive to have this same type of relationship with God, the shepherd. I shall not want, which is the last part of that first verse, means that all my needs are supplied by the Lord, just like a good shepherd who makes sure all the needs of the sheep are supplied. And again, David was emphasizing that there is a total trusting surrender to the Lord, who is our shepherd, that my every need will be supplied. The last part of that verse also means we make a commitment not to desire more than what the Lord, our shepherd, provides. In other words, beloved, David is saying we are totally surrendered unto the Lord. In order to be totally surrendered unto the Lord, we must remember that he knows our needs better than we do. As a result, we have to trust that whatever he supplies, it is all that we need. So for this first verse, if you remember nothing else, remember this: that my shepherd is the Lord, and I surrender unto him. The second verse of this psalm, the Bible says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. The first part of this verse, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, implies that God will orchestrate certain situations in our lives for our own good, whether we want him to or not. This is how caring the Lord, the shepherd, is over his sheep. If we were to take a look back over our own lives and in every situation where the Lord, the shepherd, had to step in, we would see that he made things happen for our own good. We all could give testimonies about how if we had been 5 minutes earlier, if we had been 5 minutes later, we should have made a left turn because making a right turn would have been a disaster. We ended up not going someplace where we found out later there was a problem. David knew as an experienced shepherd that the sheep will not lie down, rest, or stay out of trouble unless they are made to do so by the shepherd. Just like us, sheep give the shepherd a hard time when it comes down to doing what is right. A good shepherd can only make the sheep lie down if they are not anxious, not upset, not fearful or hungry. After our Lord, the shepherd does all that he needs to do, as the verse says, he, that is the Lord, makes me, the shepherd makes me. Why? Because he knows what I need and when I need it. The Bible goes on to say, he leads me beside the still water. Mm-hmm. Again, David uses this powerful written metaphor that a good shepherd knows, just like the Lord knows when the sheep, his sheep, need green pastures or still water. But why must it be still water? The answer is that sheep are clumsy and timid animals. They will not drink water if it is fast moving out of fear. They're scared of it. Some sheep have even been known to drown when they slip and fall into fast moving streams. So the good shepherd has to either carry water back to the sheep or find shallow still water for the sheep to drink. David, writing from the perspective of a sheep, is paying tribute to the Lord, the shepherd, for all of the care and concern he has over us. Beloved, for this second verse, if you remember nothing else, remember this, that my shepherd is the Lord, and he sustains me. In verse 3, the Bible says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. In Psalm 100, verse 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that have made us, not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. As you can see, as Christians, we are the sheep of God's pasture, and he hath made us, and only he can restore our souls. To restore means to repair or return to a former condition. The soul is the deepest part of us and of our spiritual nature. Since God is the one who made us, only he can restore us, because only he knows what we truly need to restore our souls. Since David had experienced the joy of a soul restored by God, he could write from the experience the words, he restores my soul. When David writes, he leads me, he is respectfully acknowledging that the Lord, our shepherd, is our guide. David is also acknowledging that as sheep, it is not important for us to know where the Lord, our shepherd, is going. We are to only pay attention to where the Lord, our shepherd, is. We are to let the presence of the Lord, our shepherd, lead us as he did David in the paths of righteousness. And who gets the glory for this, according to David? For his name's sake, the Lord, our shepherd, gets all of the glory as our good shepherd. So, beloved, for this third verse, if you remember nothing else, remember this, that my shepherd is the Lord, and he leads the way. In the fourth verse, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David continues to use the language of a shepherd and his sheep to describe David and our relationship to the Lord, our shepherd. David uses the land formation of a valley to describe a dark and frightening experience. The valley suggests that we are surrounded by land. This is the valley David is facing, and it's called Shadows of Death. This shadow of death represents everything negative, harmful, evil, terrifying that could possibly happen in our lives when fear replaces the faith we should have in our Lord, our shepherd. Notice that before David even mentions the valley of the shadow of death, David writes, yea, though I walk through. The emphasis by David is on walking through. David recognizes that with the guidance of the Lord, our shepherd, we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice David did not write, run through, hurry through, sneak through the shadow of the valley of death. No. Walking simply implies the next line of scripture, that we can take our time walking in total confidence with our Lord, our shepherd, because, as David writes, I will fear no evil. But before I explain David's words of I will fear no evil, I want to go deeper into the biblical symbolism of shadows. Before you can have a shadow, before a shadow is cast, you have to have an object between you and a light source.
Mm-hmm.
So in David's description of shadow of the valley of death, the shadow is cast by the object of death.
Mm-hmm.
But what is shining above the object of death to cast this shadow? Yes, you've guessed it, beloved. It is God's heavenly light. So whether you are in the valley of the shadow of fear, whether you're in the valley of the shadow of depression, despair, disorder, dis-ease, heartache, or heartbreak, whatever shadow you find yourself under that is hovering over you, casting a shadow on you, remember our Lord, our shepherd, is in total control and above it all. It is our constant reminder that the Lord is omnipotent, meaning that his power is limitless. Our Lord is omniscient, meaning his knowledge is unlimited. Our Lord is omnipresent, which means he can be in all places at all times. There would not be a shadow if it were not for the almighty power and overarching radiance of our Lord, our shepherd, heavenly light. In other words, he is present all around and above every situation.
Man.
The shadow valley of death has no meaning. The shadow of the valley of death has no influence or power over our lives. The shadow is just that, a shadow. The object, no matter what it is, has no say over our life unless we let it, by forgetting
right.
that the good shepherd is keeping watch.
Amen.
Why does David write this declaration of, I will fear no evil. It is because David knows, as he writes in the next line of this fourth verse, that for thou art with me. David did not write that he would fear a little evil, some evil, or even all evil. David wrote that he would fear no evil. The emphasis is on no evil whatsoever. How could David be so confident? His faithful confidence comes from the knowledge that a good shepherd is always looking out, anticipating any dangers that may come upon the sheep. David also knew that our Lord, our shepherd, sees all and knows all of our trials and tribulations before we even see them or even know them ourselves. So in other words, beloved, we can walk confidently through any valley situation, having no fear of evil, because the Lord, our shepherd, is always with us. In addition, David writes in conclusion of this verse that thy rod and thy staff comfort me. David, who was a former shepherd, knew the importance of guidance as it related to sheep. There were times, I'm sure, that David had to use his rod to give stern guidance to the sheep that were being stubborn and who were insisting on straying dangerously far away from the flock. In contrast, David at times had to use his staff to give only a gentle reminder of guidance to a sheep who strayed a little from the flock. David again uses the actions of the shepherd symbolically to remind us that the Lord, our shepherd, at times has to steer us in the right direction during our lives. Sometimes the Lord, our shepherd, has to get our attention in a hard, harsh, or stern manner because it is definitely what we need at the time. In other words, the Lord, our shepherd, gives us a gentle reminder of guidance because, like the shepherd of the field, our shepherd is with us and knows what guidance we need and when we need it. David knew it was a comfort to experience that kind of care and concern. So, beloved, if you don't remember anything else about this fourth verse, remember this, that my shepherd is the Lord, and he is ever present. The fifth verse of this psalm, the Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. David writes these words because he knows that a good shepherd of the pasture is always in humble service towards his sheep. This is why he could write, thou preparest, and who is doing this preparing? It is the Lord, our shepherd. And what is he preparing? Answer, a table. And who is he preparing this table for? The answer is he's preparing the table for David and for us. But, beloved, here is the amazing part. Our Lord, our shepherd, is preparing this table before me, before us, before David, in the presence of our enemies. Glory to God. Do you understand what David is describing? He's describing the Lord keeping his shepherd's promise of provision and protection in the midst of mine enemy. David could write these words with total conviction because he knows from the sheep's perspective, the good shepherd of the field is prepared for any situation. David sees the Lord, our shepherd, with his omnipotent power, who is also prepared for any situation. There is no worry, no confusion, as a table is prepared in the presence of my enemies, which demonstrates that our Lord, the shepherd, is in total control, just like the shepherd in the pasture must be in total control to guard the lives of his sheep. Notice, beloved, that our Lord, our shepherd's care and concern and attention to detail does not, and I repeat, does not eliminate the presence of our enemies, but it does allow us to experience the power of our Lord, our shepherd's provision and protection, even in their midst. The phrase, "Thou anoints my head with oil," describes a very symbolic and special action. This is done only for very special people as a great show of respect. This action is special because it's only mentioned in the Old Testament about 20 times and in the New Testament about 5 times. It is usually done only to high priests and their descendants or on furnishings inside the inner courts of the tabernacle. Its purpose is to mark someone or something symbolically holy and set it apart unto the Lord. Beloved, you can find this recipe for anointing oil in Exodus chapter 30, verses 24 and 25, where God is instructing Moses on how to make it. What made this oil so special was the strictness to the adherence of the recipe when creating the oil. It was a test of obedience for those Israelites charged with making it. More so, in the New Testament, anointed oil is used to heal the sick, and it's used as a sign of worship towards Jesus. David knew that a good shepherd of the field makes every sheep feel precious and special by his actions toward those sheep. By having his head described as being anointed by oil, David is acknowledging that his Lord, our shepherd, knows us and thinks we are special even in the midst of our enemies. Besides preparing a table, our Lord, our shepherd, also takes the time to reassure us that we are his by this anointed marking. These 6 words, "Thou anoints my head with oil," hold such power when we discover what it means in relationship to our Lord and to our shepherd. The 5th verse ends with the phrase, "My cup runneth over." Again, writing from the perspective of a sheep, David knows that a good shepherd of the pasture would give his life for his flock. With this high level of commitment to his sheep, the good shepherd would not only supply his sheep with what they need, he would also supply the needs of the sheep abundantly. Mm-hmm. So David is describing how our Lord, our shepherd, supplies us abundantly, even in the midst of difficult times with our enemies. So, beloved, if you don't remember anything about this first 5th verse, remember this, that my shepherd is the Lord, and he keeps me. The 6th and final verse of the 23rd Psalm, the Bible says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Just like the experienced shepherd of the field, David knew that such a shepherd only has good intentions for his flock. In addition, David had a faith-filled expectation of it continuing all the days of his life. David is again writing from the perspective of a sheep, which has a faithful expectation that the shepherd, our Lord, has his goodness and mercy always flowing in our direction. We all know David to be a man who had been through some things in his life. Despite David being fully aware of his own shortcomings, shortcomings that you and I have, by the way, I might add, Romans 3 and 23 says it best, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." David still starts the verse with the word surely. Notice David did not start the verse by writing hopefully, possibly, maybe. No, he wrote surely. David was confident in the consistent overflowing love for him through the Lord, our shepherd's goodness and mercy. And the same promise is opened unto us. David is saying that our Lord, our shepherd, is so great in his power. He's so majestic in his love. He can take even the worst things that have happened in our lives, and he turns them for our good. The Bible says that in Romans 8 and 28, and we know God causes all things to work for good to them that love God. That Amen. Verse does not say all things are good. The verse says all things work for good. Despite all the bad, all the ugly, all the weak and sinful moments that David had in his life and had experienced in our own lives, our Lord, our shepherd, will still allow goodness and mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. So, beloved, in closing, with these words of the final sentence, David ends the psalm by writing, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David, who is still writing from the perspective of a sheep, knew that under the protective covering of our Lord, our shepherd, David could depend on being in the presence of the Lord, our shepherd, forever. Today we know that this promise is true for us because it's found in John 14, verse 2, where Jesus says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It says it right there in John 14 and 2. I go to prepare a place for you. So, beloved, if you don't remember anything about this sixth and final verse of the 23rd Psalm, remember this, that my shepherd is the Lord. And he blesses me now and forever. But if you need me this evening to take it a step further, because you are being honest with yourselves tonight, and you realize that you are that sheep who has gone astray, who has been away, who has been led astray, and you want to come back home to your shepherd, just remember that verses 1 and 2 of this psalm talks about our shepherd's provision for us. Verses 3 and 4 speaks of our shepherd's protection over us. And verses 5 and 6 remind us about our shepherd's promise to us.
Mm-hmm.
So, beloved, my hope for you tonight is to let this song that you might have heard from time to time all through your life, let this song truly settle in your heart to get you to a right relationship with our shepherd, who is our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Awesome word, man.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Amen.
My Thank
shepherd,
you so much. Yes.
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. My shepherd is the Lord. So
Hallelujah.
Our shepherd is the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, my God, that is an awesome word. I know I've been blessed tonight. We've been blessed tonight. So I know those of you out there in radio land, I know you've been blessed by this word coming from Minister Ford on tonight. We give God all the glory and all the praise for this anointed word that has come forth on tonight. We want you out there in radio land to please, if you would like to talk to this man of God, if you want to comment concerning the word, just press 1 on your phone. We will bring you live on the air. All you have to do is press 1 on your phone, and we'll be able to bring you live on the air. If you just want to say thank you to Minister Ford for bringing forth the word on tonight, or you need prayer, just press 1 on your phone, and we will bring you live on the air. I know you've been blessed. I don't have no doubt about that. Whether you press 1 or not, I know you've been blessed by this word that has gone forth on tonight, that my shepherd is the Lord. And you can, and we can trust him, because he will do what he said he was going to do. Amen.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. Shepherd, he know what our needs are, and so we know that he know what our needs are, and he can supply those needs. So we know that he can supply them, and he will supply the need, our needs. So we just thank you for bringing forth that word on tonight. It was really awesome, and we praise God for it. I see one person in queue, and the first three numbers is 718.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay, this is Sister Warfire out of Brooklyn, New York, a very good friend of Minister Ford and Minister Shell. I have heard a lot of preachers preach, but I have never heard the 23rd song did like this tonight. He wrote an awesome word. And I was laying here listening, taking it all in. I know he's a great speaker, because in New York he used to be my Ursh's president. But I've never, at all the ministers, I'm 70 years old, had ever heard the 23rd song related like I heard it tonight. Thanks, Minister Ford, for your word of God.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yes, thank you so much for listening in and also your support and calling in and giving us your comment. Wonderful. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you so much. Amen.
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you so much. I tell you, that's a blessing, amen, to hear this word tonight. And what's so good about the word, man, you can take any scripture, you can preach that thing 52 weeks out of the year, and you will have something different out of that same scripture. I tell you, God use you, man of God, to break that thing down like a shotgun tonight.
Oh, shotgun.
Amen. I'm telling you, it is powerful. Amen. I thank God for you. Amen. And I know somebody else listening out there want to comment on this word tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But we thank and praise God for this. You know, you said something about sheep, and David said, "Lead me by the still waters," because sheep are fearful creatures. They're so afraid if the water is moving, they won't even drink it. If they're starving to death, that water is moving, they will not drink it out of fear.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad that Jesus came into our lives and took all away our fears, because the Word of God said He has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. So we thank God for how you, amen, broke that thing down and explained it, amen, how the Lord has really, amen, given it to you tonight. And so we want you to, if you have any final words you want to give to our listening audience tonight, go ahead and give some final words to our listening audience.
Yes, I just want to say that it is so appropriate that your opening song, the chorus, the refrain, the hook, mentioned very specific about God, that He is a way maker, a miracle worker, promise keeper, a light in the darkness. And He is, in other words, all things to us. If we are in the presence of God, just like the sheep in the presence of the shepherd, they don't have to worry. Even though they are defenseless, they're not smart, they're fearful, they're not clean. None of that matters, because they're in the presence of the shepherd. And
that's
a model for our lives. We don't have to worry, because we are in the presence of God. We just need to trust and believe through our faith that He will take care of all of our needs, supply us abundantly, handle our enemies. Everything is handled by the mighty power of God.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, that's awesome. And we ought to have faith and confidence like the sheep does, because they don't think on their own. They don't do anything. They're led into whatever they want to do. So that's why David said, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I don't have to be fearful, because thy rod and thy staff, I know the rod is gonna move me where I shouldn't be, and the staff is gonna pull me where I need to go." And so you know, the shepherd's staff has a hook on it. And so that hook has to make sure it's when the sheep is gonna go off a cliff or go out the wrong way, you just hook and bring them back in. And so we thank and praise God that God has a way of bringing us back in when we get sidetracked. He has a way to bring us back in. So we want you, friend listening audience, we want you to take your time and go to our website in www.butterfieldsministriesworldwide.com. Butterfieldsministriesworldwide.com. Go out there, check us out. Give us some comment. We also are partnering with a church in Africa that want to go ahead and support us. Just hit the donate button and donate whatever you'd like to for us. And we thank God for you tuning in and listening to the broadcast. Thank God for the pause. Amen.
Amen.
We look on next Saturday night to listen to his wife, Minister Michelle Ford. I know she's ready.
You don't
want to
miss
it. She's biting at the bit. She's ready to go. So you don't want to miss it. So on next Saturday, tell your neighbors and tell your friends to dial 917-388-4161 to the Turn on the Light broadcast
with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield.